Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We are in the middle, or really the beginning stages, of Dumb Belief of the Week right now, right in the middle of one of them. If you want to listen to all of our episodes every day, you go to goodmorningliberty.us or search Good Morning Liberty on your podcast app. That's the podcast that we do every single day of the week. Liberty at Night is on Tuesdays. Let's get back into talking about inflation.
So to be able to buy a house and have a car and all those different things, it took all of those things into account, which I think is probably more accurate. I mean, it literally, I think the middle class has moved up to, like, you have to make six figures probably to be middle class now. That's what it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to the grocery store and stuff, everything's just so expensive. Anyway, I say all that to say, all the comments are filled on those videos with people talking about how this is all capitalism's fault.
Of course it is.
It's all capitalism.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not the fact that we're... And then this guy's answer is we need to raise the corporate income tax back to the Reagan years.
That'll make stuff cheaper.
The glory mm-hmm. Reagan years, yeah, when corporate taxes were 38% or something like that instead of 28%.
That's how the price of things will go down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's their answer for that. It's that the wealthy aren't paying their fair share, which is why inflation has gone up.
Yeah.
God, where are all the modern monetary theorists currently?
Oh, they're starting to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, as inflation's coming down, as we've gone through 4 solid months of wage gains against inflation through the last 3 years, they're starting to come back right now. You know, if you look at people's wages versus inflation over the last 4 months, it's just been crazy. And that's, of course, when time began. So that's important. Yeah, not capitalism at all. It's like we've said a bunch of times, it resembles something closer to fascism, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yeah.
Corporatism, crony capitalism. I mean, it's basically fascism.
I don't even like saying crony capitalism because it puts capitalism.
It still uses the word, yeah, capitalism.
Yeah. Cronyism.
Yeah.
Mobster.
Okay, mafia. Here's another one that came from the group today. This is Dumb Belief number 6. The question here is, how do you motivate Gen Z in the workplace? And this is someone responding to a guy who's complaining about Gen Z folks not getting motivated. I'm telling you that because the way Instagram works, it's just going to start playing. Doesn't give you any play options. So I'm just going to refresh. And I'm going to hit this.
There we go. A team of, like, Gen Z people who don't care to go up beyond it.
Skibbity bop. I'll take this one. But did you try to give them pizza? That usually works. Or, you know, if that doesn't, you have to go with this one. Tell them that they're a part of a family. When you do, you might want to record yourself in double speed and then send them the video. You know, if that doesn't work, you can give them some tax write-offs. I mean, some company swag, like a T-shirt or a bottle of an empty bottle with the company's logo on it. And that will motivate them. That will dead ass motivate them. Or hear me out. You can pay them more. A lot more. Thank you.
Okay. Can pay them more. The reason I hate stuff like this is because
why do you have to take his wig off for that?
Well, because he was dressed as like a corporate person, I guess, like gray hair, and he had like a button up shirt on, and he was like recommending things the stupid things the corporations do, like you're part of a family, and here's a Tumblr with our logo on it. You know, congratulations.
Yeah.
And
pizza parties,
stuff like that. That was a serious wig. That's what Magoo said. I don't like this idea that to get people to be productive and to be good employees, you should first give them the raise and then they'll decide to work for it afterwards. I honestly think it needs to be I think it should be the opposite, where you prove that you're worth the amount of money that you're asking for, and then you ask for the amount of money for the raise instead of just letting the money, like, why wouldn't you go to a job and do the best job that you can?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, hey, trust me, there is a lot more potential and productivity in here, but I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to put forward like 50% effort until you give me more money. And then I promise you, I'm going to become a totally different employee after you give me that money. Swear. I swear to God I will.
I will. You know? I can say it can go both ways, though. I think that you can do your best and outperform. And over time, they just want to keep you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so then you do have to fight. You know, you have to be like, hey, I need more to keep mm-hmm. doing the same things I've been doing. Otherwise, you can be overworked and underpaid, I would say.
What I would say is you do the work, you work hard, you prove that you're worth more money than what you're getting paid. And if that's true, you'll go to your boss and you say, I'm doing more work than what I'm getting paid for. I'm worth more than this. I need you to give me this much money or I'm going to walk and I'm going to go to my better option that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And if the boss says, all right, see you. See you later. The sad answer to that is that you weren't worth the amount of money you were asking for. Because now you could be, technically, but if there's someone else who's willing to do the same work for less money, then you're technically not worth the amount of money that you're asking for.
Although I will say big corporations kind of run into a problem of, you know, HR having these buckets and they lose good people
mm-hmm.
that they can't replace.
Yeah.
And then they end up, that's worse off for the corporation.
That's very true.
They find themselves in these bubbles.
But
I get what you're saying. You know,
just
a good boss will reward good work.
Good work. I don't think it should go the other way around because mm-hmm. what if the good work doesn't come after you give them the good money? You know, are you going to decrease their pay? That's not going to work out. Hardly anyone ever gets their pay decreased by a large amount, except for by the government through inflation. You know, you get your pay decreased that way. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this is I'm going to sound like a boomer old person right now, but I've always had an issue with this idea. Like, say you got a kid and you're like, hey, kid, you see this treat right here? I'll give you like, if you'll do what me, the person who brought you into the world, if you do what I'll ask, then I'm going to give you this right here, you know, I'm going to give you this money every single week or whatever like that. And I think you grow up thinking that the only reason that you would ever do anything that is required of you as a human being, as a responsible person, is if someone is like dangling a treat in front of you.
Mm.
And like, that's the kind of people that you're raising. And
although, I mean, performance-based incentives do work.
That is performance-based incentives.
You know,
it is. But I also,
if you hit certain targets and you make, you know, certain bonuses, like that does incentivize somebody to work more.
I want to
make the sale, or I want to hit my numbers, or I want to whatever. Now, some people it doesn't, and they don't ever get their bonuses. They just sit where they're at, you know?
We got a lot to talk about in the last few weeks,
okay.
So we got to move on. This is a clip of Eric Holder, Dumb Bleep number 7. Eric Holder used to be the attorney general
under still alive.
Obama. I guess so. Mm-hmm. I guess he's still alive. This interview... You know what I should have done was not tell you who it was and not tell you what he was talking about. But Eric Holder is explaining the dangers of what would happen, of course, if Donald Trump were to become president and have an attorney general. This is the kind of terrible, crazy, awful, tyrannical thing that could happen if the wrong person gets in power.
That's what they're doing.
It's going to be a... Yes, it's going to be that.
Can you just describe a little bit in terms of the role of and how it would transform if an attorney general were not looking at things purely from the facts, purely from the evidentiary burden and how to meet it, but instead taking directives on who to prosecute from the president of the United States?
Sure. If the president told a compliant attorney general, I don't like what this congressman said about me or did about me, did to me over the course of the last 2-3 years, whatever, open an investigation. On that person. That attorney general could tell a compliant United States attorney to do just that. talk to a compliant FBI director who could be replaced by the president, to open an investigation, and then to just look through that person's life and look for anything that you possibly can find. Who's to say what you find in any person's life that might run afoul of the law? And even beyond that, the mere fact of an investigation of a person who is a public figure can be reputation ruining, can be politically damaging, not even if you find anything, just the fact that the investigation itself exists. And if you've got the full weight of the Justice Department, the full weight of the presidency, the full weight of the FBI focusing on somebody like that, that can be extremely damaging to not only that person individually, but to our democracy writ large.
That does sound terrible.
To our democracy. Yeah.
Writ large. We should make sure that never happens.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Magoo's right. Here comes the we project onto our opponents exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, well, that's the stage. That's the stage of democracy we're in right now. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, this is late stage democracy that we're in right now. And we're in the projection and gaslighting stage of that republic democracy. And, of course, Eric Holder was no stranger to different scandals that happened while he was the attorney general under Obama. Things like Fast and Furious and things like the IRS targeting, not actually doing a criminal investigation, and the IRS targeting conservative organizations. Failing to advise President Obama against taking actions that violate the Constitution, refusing to enforce or defend federal laws and trying to persuade state attorney general to engage in the same type of behavior, refusing to defend laws passed by their state legislatures. There's quite a few things. And then that's not even talking about Merrick Garland, who is the AG right now, and all of the crap that we've dealt with the FBI doing over the last few years and them opening investigations.
The whole Russia investigation.
That whole thing was a thing.
And, election fraud investigation.
We've got like parents going to school board members are domestic terrorists. We've got the Jan 6 people getting freaking 20 years in prison for knocking over a lamp or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it would just be a terrible thing if we let some tyrant put in an AG that would do the bidding of whoever the president is. That'd just be awful. Yep. You know, we got to make sure that never happens. Speaking of someone who never gets investigated or bothered by the government at all, Elon Musk. It's not that they would ever just open tons of investigations in his companies in an attempt to try and damage him financially so he can't continue to fund one of the only free speech platforms that exists out there that won't comply with the federal government's wishes. You know, they would never go after him for anything. This is a funny thing that happened with Tesla over the week. This is a post from Mehdi Hasan, whose show got canceled from MSNBC. I was kind of surprised about that. Tesla recalls nearly all vehicles sold to fix autopilot fault. He's a genius. A genius! Now, when you hear about a recall, in my mind, it means you got to bring your car into the shop. Like, I have a few recalls on my Accord that I've never done anything. It's like you get something that says, hey, your seatbelt doesn't work if you get in a wreck. I'm like,
I don't need to fix that.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Come on. They're just trying to get me to go to the shop for something, you know?
Your airbag.
Yeah, I had that on my Civic. It was like, if your airbag comes out, it's going to send shards of metal through your skull. And I was like, that's never happened before. What are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, this...
Or your cup holder's full of salmonella.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah.
I get that one all the time. Mm-hmm. The Daily Beast says Tesla is recalling nearly all of its vehicles sold in the U.S., amounting to over 2 million cars, after a review of its autopilot driving system found the need for a software update to address safety concerns. The autopilot system just not cutting it. Not cutting it anymore. This one was from NBC. Tesla recalls nearly all... No, this is from AP. Recalls nearly all vehicles sold to fix system that monitors drivers using autopilot. And then we find out that this recall is a software update that they do over the air at night while the car is parked in the garage. And the dangerous system they're talking about is not the self-driving system itself. It's the system that monitors whether or not the driver is paying attention while the self-driving autopilot thing is being used at that moment. So you're supposed to, when you're using these functions, you're supposed to like have your hands on the steering wheel still on them, you know, from what I read, it's even worse than like on mine, where you do the lane assist and it'll start beeping at you if you take your hand off the wheel after a little bit. You're supposed to be looking at the road like there's a camera in the car that's monitoring how much you're paying attention. And there's been a couple wrecks where it turns out the person like fell asleep or just wasn't paying attention at all, ignored what the autopilot was saying, and ended up getting in an accident.
They got up and went to use the bathroom.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. It set cruise control, you know.
And the car inverted, mm-hmm. you know, and the passengers, yeah.
It was inverted.
They didn't all have their seatbelts on.
So that's the recall that they're talking about, of course.
But they're acting like everyone has to turn their Tesla in.
Yeah, everyone's got to bring it to lines outside the Tesla dealerships to get their, you know, get all their tools out and go in there and start cranking away at stuff, trying to fix the drive. It's just a software update.
They're longer than the bread line in Seattle.
And let's see, ADA controls will further encourage the driver to adhere to their continuous driving responsibility, the document said. Like, that's it. It's not that the system doesn't work, it's that the drivers aren't paying attention. So that's part one of this. What's clearly happening right now is people are trying to go after Elon Musk. And if you want to go after Elon Musk, you have to go after Tesla, because Tesla is how Elon Musk was able to finance X. And X is the only social media company not the only one, but the biggest one that is not censoring speech the way the government wants them to censor speech. They're not censoring it the way that it used to, mm-hmm. basically. And so they need
every
to
time
go
I read the
Elon.
Models, I still think it's so funny.
Yeah, sexy. I wish they would have put them in a different order there.
It's so ridiculous.
S3XY. Yeah. Okay, so the next thing, NBC News.
I'm surprised it wasn't boobs. It's like a calculator upside down.
That's another one that it seems like he would probably do. I bet he did that all the time when he was in school.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay, Charlie, groundbreaking information released here by NBC News. I didn't realize how dangerous this was, but... what's it say?
It's dangerous as a semi, I think.
It's pretty dangerous.
As vehicles get bigger and heavier, they also get deadlier. Tesla's new Cybertruck, a 6,800-pound electric car, would be lethal to pedestrians and occupants of lighter vehicles in the case of an accident, experts say.
They got experts on there telling you that this this big, heavy truck.
NBC didn't say that. Experts said it.
Yeah, they're just reporting what the experts said. Of course. So, yeah, pedestrians already dying at record levels now face Elon Musk's Cybertruck. Oh, the dangers of allowing Elon Musk to have businesses. Now he's making a truck, and it turns out to be the first deadly truck that's ever existed for pedestrians, from what I can tell. As vehicles get bigger and heavier, they also get deadlier. It's a trend that has some concerned about Tesla's new Cybertruck, a 6,800-pound electric behemoth with sports car acceleration that experts say will be lethal to pedestrians and occupants of lighter vehicles. You know, that's something they just don't care about. Anyone who ever makes a truck, I guess. Elon Musk said, "We are highly confident that Cybertruck will be much safer per mile than other trucks." That's because all of Tesla's cars are safer per mile than all of the other cars out there on the road. Some in the vehicle safety world disagree. Michael Brooks, executive director for the Center for Auto Safety, a nonprofit consumer advocacy organization, said the Cybertruck poses a variety of threats to pedestrians. According to the website, it weighs 6,800 pounds and can accelerate from 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds, which is ridiculous. For comparison, the 2023 Ford F-150 starts at slightly more than 4,000 pounds and can go from 0 to 60 in 5.5 seconds. Now,
that's the model we should be aiming
that is,
for.
You shouldn't look at Ford's electric F-150 Lightning that they have. You should compare it to a regular Ford F-150 because that's the best comparison for another electric truck. If anyone wants to internet sleuth here for me real quick, I want to get the weight of Ford's F-150 Lightning, I think is what it's called. Brooks said the Cybertruck's extreme acceleration capabilities combined with its weight means that drivers will have less time to react to pedestrians and collisions with them will be deadlier. He said the Cybertruck will be dangerous to occupants of other cars as well. Of course, it's a heavier vehicle.
You want to know what it is?
What is it?
6,500 pounds. The Ford F-150 Ford Lightning has a curb weight of up to 6,500 pounds, according to sources, which compares to the regular F-150's curb weight that ranges anywhere from 4,021 to 5,000 pounds.
So they compared it to the
Lightning weighs 6,500 pounds, more than 35% more than the gas-powered model. That's in large part because of, an immovable weight at its core, an 1,800-pound battery.
So they compared it to the gas-powered F-150, not the electric version of it, which is 300 pounds lighter than the Cybertruck. Oh, gosh. That's even dumber than I thought. That's great. Okay.
I'm surprised I didn't take that off of there before we could look it up.
I know. Let's see. Anything else? Oh, one thing here while they're just talking about how dangerous Elon Musk is and how dangerous the vehicles are, of course. Down here at the bottom, you have the average million of miles driven per one accident. Million miles driven per one accident. For the average in the United States, it's 0.48, so 484,000 miles driven per one accident. Tesla cars with the autopilot technology are 4.31 million miles driven per one accident, or like 10 times safer than your regular car. And without autopilot, it's 2 million miles driven per one accident. So, let's see, no auto steer and active safety features is 1.59. So still even like 3 to 4 times better, than the average car in the U.S. And they're trying to make a big deal about these things being dangerous. They are literally very much safer than regular vehicles on the road for both pedestrians and for other drivers on the road. But they are so concerned about trying to take down Elon Musk and where he derives all of his monetary value, which is how he finances Twitter X, that they'll even push out the narrative that Teslas are just too dangerous for the road. And they'll make a big news story out of every time someone dies in a Tesla or gets hit by a Tesla, when this is something that happens every single day on all roads in the United States. But they'll make a big news story whenever it's a Tesla. And there's a very specific reason that they're doing that. And that's dumb.
That's real dumb.
Yeah, assembly yeah. number 8.
I can't stop laughing about it.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You knew it was going to be close.
Yeah.
You didn't had know it was to be that close.
300 pounds.
Yeah.
Here you go, Charlie. We got more Dumb Bleep of the Week coming right up. And plus, we will pick the winner. The winner will go into the tournament bracket challenge for Dumb Bleep of the Year. The winner gets a trophy sent to them. No matter who they are, we're going to send that trophy. Says Dumb Bleep of the Year winner. You don't want to miss the winner coming right up.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA News Update. Power restoration efforts are continuing today following this week's East Coast storms. Maine is the hardest hit state, with more than 430,000 homes and businesses reported to be in the dark. More than 130,000 utility customers were reported without power in Massachusetts, another 27,000 in Connecticut. There's been an increase in fake bomb threats against Jewish people.
An organization monitoring threats against Jewish communities reports over 200 false bomb threats and swatting calls during the weekend. Swatting involves making prank calls to authorities to falsely prompt a SWAT team response under the pretense of a crime occurring.
A total of 25 states will be raising their minimum wage, as high as $16 in states like California and New York. 20 states will be keeping the federal minimum wage $7.25. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Liberty Unite on the Free Talk Live Network. We are almost done with Dumb Bleep of the Week. Let's get the votes in. I saw this one because Mehdi Hasan said,
"This is what systemic racism looks like, GOP.
The largest credit union rejected more than half its black conventional mortgage applicants. This is systemic racism." Go ahead, Chuck.
All right. The largest credit union in the U.S. has the widest disparity in mortgage approval rates between white and black borrowers of any major lender, a trend that reached a new height last year, a CNN analyst found. Navy Federal Credit Union approved more than 75% of the white borrowers who applied for a new conventional home purchase mortgage in 2022, according to the most recent data available from the CFPB. But less than 50% of black borrowers who applied for the same type of loan were approved. While many banks also approved white applicants at higher rates than black borrowers, the nearly 29 percentage point gap in Navy Federal's approval rates was the widest of any of the 50 lenders that originated the most mortgage loans last year. Notably, Navy Federal approved a slightly higher percentage of applicants from white borrowers making less than $62,000 a year than it did of black borrowers making $140,000 or more.
There's a few things here. There's a few things that you just don't. There's things that you don't know when you look at this. You could say, what's the likelihood of being a single-headed household versus a two-person household between white people and black people? I think that it's a lower likelihood to have a two-person household, okay, when it comes to a black family. Maybe. I think the stats would be lower on that. So, one, you could say a white borrower making less than $62,000 a year could have a co-signer, could have multiple people on there, and maybe the black person was just one. Okay, that's one thing. That's just one single thing, and I'm not even saying that's it. The other thing that they don't have, well, let's read a little bit more of the article.
A deeper statistical analysis performed by CNN found that black applicants to Navy Federal were more than twice as likely to be denied as white applicants, even when more than a dozen different variables, including income, debt-to-income ratio, property value, down payment percentage, and the neighborhood characteristics, were the same. Navy Federal spokesperson Bill Pearson defended the credit union's lending practices. Navy Federal Credit Union is committed to equal and equitable lending practices and strict adherence to all fair lending laws, employee training, fair lending statistical testing, third-party evaluations, and compliance reviews are embedded and our lending practices to ensure fairness across the board. He said that CNN's analysis does not accurately reflect our practices because it did not account for major criteria required by any financial institution to approve a mortgage loan. Those factors include credit score, available cash deposits, and relationship history with lender.
So you don't have that information, but you still write this article. And this is in the article. They say, you know, this person's defense, you guys literally don't have the credit score data. And that's a pretty big one. Or how about available cash? What's your cash on hand? Or what about your history with the lender? Have you had some kind of loan delinquency in the past? Not saying that there's more, but I'm saying you don't have that information.
Yeah.
But you still make this big assumption and run with the headline. Mehdi Hasan, who's just truth incarnate, goes out there and says this is what a systemic racism looks like. You got this chart here, 77% approval for whites, 48% for black. Here's the gap between the two at all the different banks. This could be part of it. This is 2019, but average FICO score by race, white would be 734 and black would be 677. Now that's 677 is not the worst credit score in the world, but for an average, assuming that there's like a little statistical bubble around the average encompassing all the different credit scores that there could be around that to get to that average of 677, the people on the lower end are going to get dangerously close to a range that you're not going to get approved at, which I think is below 620. But when your average is up at 734 and you look at the little statistical bubble around 734. Even people on the lower side, probably still up above whatever the 640 is, the 620, whatever that number is. And so you're going to catch way more people when the average is down there at 677 that are going to be outside of that approval limit for people's credit scores.
Not only that, but like, let's say you have the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for a down payment or whatever, and you give all that money and then you have nothing left over.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to lend to you for that.
Yeah.
You got to have the down payment plus
money.
They have to see that you're going to be able to keep affording the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they don't have that data for the article, which gets really annoying because they still make the assumptions with the article. People like Mehdi Hasan make the assumptions from the article, all while not having all of the information and just going along with the mm-hmm. idea that the nation's largest credit lender is this big racist credit lender that won't give loans to black people. That means that there's systemic racism. That means that we need reparations. That means that we need to retool our entire system. And you're doing
just like
that.
Women make less money than men.
Yeah. It's like as fake as that statistic right there without having all the other details along with it.
To give them credit, they did say more than a dozen variables or whatever, but the problem is they didn't do all the variables.
Yeah. Like credit score is a pretty important one.
You just picked certain variables mm-hmm. that fit your narrative. Let's look at all of it.
The credit score, it's not that they picked that. That's not publicly available information. So I'm just clarifying that they didn't decide to not pick credit scores. That's not publicly available information mm-hmm. that they could pull individuals' credit scores. What I mean. So there's this article talking about how black people have lower credit scores than white people do. And it's framed in the idea that is systemic racism, that black people have lower credit scores. It's called giving credit where it's due. I don't know if we have to read this whole thing. Here's a big deal. While only 1 in 19 white Americans have a credit score of 620 or lower, a level considered high risk for most lenders, 1 in 5 black Americans have a credit rating of 620 or lower.
Yeah.
So 20% of black Americans are below 620.
This reminds me of that, you know, when Ben Shapiro was real young, mm-hmm. they asked him about systemic racism and he shot back the facts and he's like, you tell me why 13% of the population commits 50% of the murders.
Yeah.
You tell me why black-on-black crime is higher than white-on-white crime. You tell me why they're not finishing school. You tell me why they're... I think he's right when he said it's a culture problem, more so than it is anything else. Now, is there some racism at play? Sure. Racism still exists.
Or some of it, you know, down the line, generations have stemmed from racist policies in the past. You know, your parents or your grandparents weren't able to get ahead like maybe my parents or grandparents were able to get ahead. And so that can still have effects, of course. You know, when you say cultural problems, it kind of seems like people could take that as being like a little racist, just a little bit, you know. But I think
what he was meaning is, you know, why has the single household rate exploded among black Americans?
So then you could blame the government.
Yeah.
Honestly. Well, for the way that we
And then what you do is you have this whole party of Democrats basically saying that they're all victims and they can never get ahead. So why try? So you run it, you walk around all day being like, well, everybody's out to get me. Why would I even try to better myself? You know, they just perpetuate the victim mentality, and it's just simply not true.
Speaking of why would you ever try to better yourself, don't believe number 10, the article that I sent you last night. I thought it was going to be a fine article. It's like, oh, finally, Robert Reich is talking about something other than politics. You know, he cares about people's mental health.
Nope.
This part of the episode is not brought to you by betterhelp.com/GML because it's not an official ad. But I just want to let you know, you can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/GML.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal. Yeah. Okay.
For your mental health, do it.
Robert Reich says we need to talk about the United States mental health crisis and its larger causes. He wants to talk about an uncomfortable topic that needs much more open discussion, the United States' extraordinarily high level of anxiety. A panel of medical experts has recommended that doctors screen all patients under 65, including children and teenagers, for what the panel calls anxiety disorders. Lori Burt? PB?
Yeah, two Bs.
Pebert?
Yep.
A clinical psychologist and professor at the University of Massachusetts Medical School who serves on the panel calls mental health disorders a crisis in the country. Recent New York Times article discussed what's called a persistent depressive disorder, or PDD, which an estimated 2% of adults in the United States have experienced in the past year. Nearly 50,000 people in the U.S. lost their lives to suicide last year, according to a new tally from the National Center for Health Statistics. The suicide rate, now 14.3 deaths per 100,000 Americans, has reached its highest level since 1941, when the U.S. entered the Second World War. Men aged 75 and older had the highest suicide rate last year.
Really?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Hmm.
Just want to go out on your own terms. Huh?
Yeah, they were done.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Last year, I'm just kidding. At nearly 44 per 100,000 people, double the rate of people aged 15 to 24. While women have been found to have suicidal thoughts more commonly, men are four times as likely to die by suicide because they get the job done. Mm-hmm. Suicide rates for Native Americans are almost double the rates for other Americans.
That's the thing. Women always think about it.
Yeah.
Men just do.
They just can't make the decision on anything. No. You know?
Do I take 12 pills or 10?
What's going on?
I want the minimal amount to do it.
Maybe the widespread anxiety and depression, along with a near record rate of suicide, should not be seen as personal disorders. Maybe they should be seen in many cases as rational responses to a society that's becoming ever more disordered.
This is Robert Reich's official opinion.
Yes, as a lawyer. After all, who's not concerned by the right? Not only is he an economist, he's also a medical professional.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's only educated in the field of law. After all, who's not concerned by the rising cost of housing and the growing insecurity of jobs and incomes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who, apart from Trump supporters, isn't terrified by Trump's attacks on democracy and the possibility of another Trump presidency? Why wouldn't you kill yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Because people like Robert Reich have been fear-mongering you to death, literally. Who doesn't worry about mass shootings at their children's or grandchildren's schools? People who look at statistics?
Yeah.
Who isn't affected by the climate crisis? Add increasingly brutal racism. That's what we're most known for, is an increasingly brutally racist society. Mounting misogyny. It's at all-time highs. record amounts of misogyny.
Mm-hmm. Which is why men are killing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's why all these 75-year-old dudes are killing themselves. It's the mounting misogyny and the brutal racism. Anti-abortion laws, homophobia and transphobia, attacks on Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, Jews, Arabs, and other minority groups, and the growing coarseness and ugliness of what we see and read in social media. Consider all this, and it would almost be stranger if you weren't anxious, stressed, and often depressed.
God bless.
There are certain things that you read and you try to analyze that I don't know if you ever get this way, Charlie, but you feel so angry and upset and gaslit about that it actually becomes difficult to even critique it or say anything back because of the ridiculousness and the insanity going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever feel that way.
I do. I'm almost at a loss for words because, like, if I start talking, I'll be so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know.
Like, I want to say mean things.
I want to be slow to anger.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be quick to listen, slow to anger. So it's hard to say anything.
Studies show.
You sent me this last night, and I text you back, and I just said it's like the gaslight of all gaslights.
It really is the gaslight of all gaslights because Robert Reich is one of the perpetrators of this narrative that's getting pushed on everyone in the country that Trump's going to destroy democracy and nothing is your fault. The rising cost of housing and jobs, inequality, income, and increasing racism, way more racism and misogyny is way worse, and homophobia and transphobia is way worse than when it wasn't even legal to get married as a gay person. Like, everything is so much worse right now. And he's one of these people that are actually pushing that idea onto people. And let's say they are getting depressed about it. He's the one doing it. And then writing an article about it's easy to understand. You know, some people, they just get so anxious and depressed because of all these things I've been telling them are going on around the country that they're not really experiencing, but they see me talk about it all the time.
When in actual reality, things are way better than they have ever been.
Studies show that women have nearly double the risk of depression as men. Black people also have higher stress levels. From 2014 to 2019, the suicide rate among Black Americans increased by 30%. Are women and Black people suffering from a disorder, or are they responding to reality, or both? White men without college degrees are particularly vulnerable to deaths from suicide, overdoses, and alcoholic liver diseases, with contributions from the cardiovascular effects of rising obesity.
That's not as important, though.
Particularly vulnerable might mean that they have a much higher rate of suicide than all the other people that he mentioned, but he doesn't want to put the stat in there because he's talking about racism and misogyny and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are they suffering from a disorder, or are they responding to a fundamental change in American society, or both? In their book, Deaths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism, economists Ann Case and Angus Deaton argue that the deaths of despair among whites would not have happened or would not have been so severe without the destruction of the white working class. Part of the problem, they say, is that the less educated are often underpaid and disrespected and feel that the system is rigged against them.
Well, they were white, though, so they probably shouldn't kill themselves.
That's
reparations.
Yeah, but it makes the stats better for all the Black people because there's less white people. Even if we had far more mental health professionals, what would they do against these formidable foes? Prescribe more pills? If anything, Americans are probably already over-medicated.
Dr. Reich here.
Hmm. They could be over-medicated. I would agree with them being over-medicated. Maybe that's one of the reasons that people are freaking out so much, because they just jump the pills immediately when they're having a bad day. Don't get me wrong, I'm not arguing against better access to mental health care. In fact, quite the opposite. Increased staffing and improved access to mental health care are very much needed. Mental health, here's another just striking fact he wants all of us to know. Mental health care is harder to find now than before the pandemic. Does anyone in their right mind actually think that mental health care is harder to find now than it was before the pandemic? Is it harder to find now than it's ever been? He says about half the people in the U.S. live in an area without a mental health professional, federal data shows. Of course, he completely decides to not account for all of the online resources that exist out there.
Yeah.
Instead, he says that half the people live in an area without a mental health professional. He ignores sites like BetterHelp or all of the other competitors that we won't mention on this show that are out there that are offering mental health advice. No, they're not near as good. But you should.
But these people probably don't have access to the internet either, though.
No.
They don't have cell phones.
That's true. That's true.
IDs or.
But in addition to providing more and better access to mental health care and a suicide and crisis hotline, shouldn't we try to make our society healthier? Americans experience the least economic security of the inhabitants of any advanced nation. A healthy society needs more job security and stronger safety nets.
Because our government is spending us into oblivion. That's why. Because of all the policies you advocate for. Spending more money, more money, more money. That lead to what people are most freaked out about, which is they can't afford to pay for food or housing for their freaking children.
Here's your...
too expensive.
Charlie, you asked where the modern monetary theorists were. This is what they pivoted to. The health, the mental health crisis is because of capitalism. Don't pay attention to how inflation has made everything worse or how we took away your jobs during the pandemic or any of that kind of stuff. It's all capitalism, and we must have a better society and a better government that takes better care of people. That's what we need. The distribution of income and wealth in the United States is the most unequal of any other advanced nation. A healthy society ensures that no one working full-time is poor and levies high taxes on the wealthy to help pay for what society needs. Says whom? Who says that? Levies high taxes on the wealthy? Look at frickin' Denmark and Sweden and Switzerland and all that. You would never support their tax rates. If you make 80 grand a year, you're in the highest tax bracket in Sweden. Highest tax bracket. Someone making 80 grand pays the same as someone who literally takes home $1 million every year when it comes to those taxes. Their corporate tax rate of 22%, we just lowered our tax rate down to that amount, and everyone said this is fascism.
It's actually 23.5. We're still above 22.
I thought we went to 21.5. I thought it was a half percent lower. Okay. I don't remember exactly what it is. Guns and assault weapons are easier to buy in the United States than any other advanced nation. A healthy society bans assault weapons and makes it difficult to buy guns. If you don't do this, people will kill themselves. That's the danger of guns, is everyone deciding to kill themselves because other people have guns. Mm. That's the unseen danger that we're dealing with. The U.S. puts more carbon dioxide into the air per capita than almost any other advanced nation. A healthy society better protects the environment. That's why people are so upset, because they saw the carbon dioxide per capita numbers and they just can't get over it. Big money plays a larger role in American politics than it does in almost any other advanced nation. Almost any other advanced nation. A healthy society does not allow big money to buy politicians. Some American politicians, like Donald Trump, gain power by stirring up racism, xenophobia, and homophobia. A healthy society does not let these.
They're the ones that stirred all that up.
I know. No, I mean, just think about that xenophobia. You know, whenever he closed off travel from China during the COVID pandemic, that was xenophobic.
Mm-hmm.
It's racist. You know that time that he said that all of the Mexicans were murderers and rapists? You know, that's racist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he didn't actually say that. But the fact that so many people think that he did has been allowed to stir up a bunch of racism. Oh, God. The list could be much larger, but you get the point. The anxiety disorders suffered by Americans are real, and they apparently are growing. But instead of regarding them solely as personal disorders, maybe we need to understand them as at least partly as social disorders and get to work remedying them as a society. The CDC needs to step in and change our tax rates.
Mm.
That's actually what's going to need to happen. No number of mental health professionals and no amount of medications or hotlines will be enough. If you do not increase taxes on the rich and seize companies from the wealthy and start a government healthcare system that's going to completely crash and burn and destroy the healthcare system, and further destroy the schooling systems that we have, and take away everyone's guns and modes of self-defense, there's just nothing we can do about this.
Mm.
There's just no way. Yep. You don't stop Trump, people are going to be mass suiciding themselves.
Here's what he's saying. If you don't start advocating for the very policies that led you to this depression, then you're going to kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gaslighting. It's pure gaslighting.
It is some of the craziest
gaslighting I've seen.
It's literally
saying you need to advocate for the policies that led to this situation.
Okay.
Spending ourselves into oblivion, because everything that he's advocating for would all cost money.
Yeah. And who would they take it from?
Money that don't have.
You'd have to take it from the people. They're not going to have it. You're going to have to inflate the currency even more, which means prices will go up on everything. People that are already struggling will struggle even harder. Prices of houses will go up. School, everything that the government sends money towards will continue to go up. The value of your money will go down if you follow whatever it is that he wants you to do. And that is his prescription to stop people from being sad. Assembly number one was the Boston Mayor's No Whites Christmas Party. Number two,
thanks, Nate,
was that weird political post.
You got me angry.
Good. That's what I was aiming for.
I'm in the calm.
Number three was the White House anti-racist nutcracker. Number four was seize Bill Gates' land. Five is capitalism is why we fund bombs. Six is how to motivate Gen Z. Number seven is Eric Holder on CNN. Number eight is the Tesla recall and the dangers of the Cybertruck. Number nine is the Navy Federal racist company. And number 10 is the Robert Reich mental, the Robert Reich created mental health crisis prescription by Robert Reich.
Get your votes in.
All right. Get those votes in. Charlie, tell them where to find our stuff.
GoodMorningLiberty.us. Go visit or not.
That's up to you.
Share the show with a friend, a family member, or a foe. Hit that plus button on Apple Podcasts to make sure you get, make sure you're following.
Yeah. You want to do that.
Or hit the follow button on Spotify. And where else should they go? Oh, GodHatesFeds.com.
Yeah.
It's a place to go.
JoinGML.com.
JoinGML.com. BernieLies.com.
GMLNews.com takes you directly to our news page, by the way. I didn't tell you about that one yet.
GMLNews.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen on Free Talk Live Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the radio area, you can
listen on the radio. Looks like Robert Reich created mental health crisis prescription by Robert Reich as the winner. Dumbly number 10.
That should win Dumbly of the Year almost, yeah.
It's so...
His gaslighting is...
There's a reason...
And then he profits all of this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, with his books and his speeches and all this garbage that he does, his YouTube views, he makes ad revenue from that garbage. The dude's a multimillionaire. Has studied economics and still perpetuates the narrative that's anti-economical.
Yeah.
Like, it's just mind-blowing.
I don't know how much he studied economics. He got a law degree. That's what he graduated with. And he just happened to have friends in the right places and, you know, got in. I think...
Oh, he's a privileged white man.
And yeah. There you go.
They felt bad for us.
All right.
How short he was.
Robert Reich
wins. No one feels bad for how tall I am.
No.
You know how many times I almost hit my head in Atlantis?
Probably a lot of times.
Built for me. The shower head hit me right in the middle of the chest.
Showers have to be rough, actually, because sometimes I can't put my head under the shower.
Well, you have to do forward-facing showers.
Yeah.
So I literally have to bend over like this.
Yeah.
Get underneath it where I can't turn around.
Yeah.
Turn around.
All right. We got the votes in. Great job, everyone. I hope everyone has a great weekend. We got to go. Time to get out of here. We've officially ran out of things to say.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.